a remote control that works around corners, a little tiny remote control for your iPhone, the new BlackBerry with its own keyboard, and the latest Chromebook from Acer. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code BEFOREYOUBUY7. Welcome to Before You Buy, the TWiT show where we review the latest and greatest products using our own TWiT staff members, not just people in front of the camera, people behind the scenes, too. It's always a lot of fun, and there's always something interesting to look at. That's what I like. We decided we'd let Ayaz, who's reviewed a lot of notebooks for us, Ayaz Akhtar from KnowHow and TNT, take a look at the latest Chromebook. This is the Acer C7.
Acer C7 costs about $200. And it's one of those Chromebooks, so it's got Chrome OS on it, so you either love that or hate that right off the bat. What I was surprised by this device is the fact that it actually has an Ethernet port because, you know, you want to be connected.
And a VGA port.
VGA. These two are thrown out of so many different devices. Ultrabooks
throw
this out.
That's very old school.
But it's available on the C7. HDMI out, which I didn't get to use because I don't know why I would. A couple of USB ports. We got one over there and two on this side. And it's,
are they USB 2 or USB 3?
Two on one side. I believe that one
those
of these
are blue.
Is, I believe
that's
these
a
are
USB 3.
3.
Wow,
side.
That's great.
So we've got some real power there and an SD card slot in the front. So lots and lots of ports. I really like that. The screen's 11.6 inches, and it's got a resolution of 1366 by 768. So it's nicely packed for a small screen. But again, you're limited to Chrome OS. And this device really, I got to say, let me down because I was getting something like 4 hours of battery life out of this thing. It has a 2,500 milliamp hour battery, which I think your phone has that.
Yeah.
And this thing's trying to power an 11.6 inch screen. It just doesn't do the job for me when it comes to this kind of experience. I've been using this as my actual laptop for a couple of days.
But Ayaz, it is $200.
$200.
It's less than your phone. It's a third what your phone costs.
Well, I guess that is a pro. On this device, I got to say, it's light and sturdy. It wakes up really quickly from sleep. Like, if I want to do that, open it up, it's going to open up. Well, it should be faster than that. It actually just went to sleep.
I think you put it to sleep.
I put it to sleep. I went too fast. Hang on. Let me open it up again.
And the
there
light
it goes.
Stays on.
It goes right back.
Is
I really
it an
love
Atom
that.
Processor?
I believe it's an Intel inside, so we've got that. The battery life is a huge con on this. Speaker placement, very strange. They're up front here, almost underneath. So if you're holding it in your lap, you'll muffle the audio. So the speakers are not loud, even if you have it on a tabletop. And, of course, you've got the limited usage because of the Chrome OS operating system there. That's redundant. But I'm going to use a standard that you mentioned a while ago. Would I buy this with my own money for $199? No, this is a don't buy. Do not spend $200.
Not even $200.
Not for this device, because you can get a Nexus 7 that has a lot more battery life and the same amount of functionality, if not more, with more offline usage from Google. And this tiny 4-cell battery just doesn't cut it for $200.
Now, I do think that it's aimed, particularly because of the Ethernet and the VGA, at a school environment, right? Mm-hmm. And if you had a classroom of 30 students, they're all at the desk, they're probably mostly plugged in. Maybe that would be a sensible choice.
It's pretty good if you don't mind having it plugged in, if you're not trying to use it as your daily machine, if it's like your third or fourth machine.
It's a specialty
maybe.
Product,
right?
Yeah.
But $200, I wouldn't even recommend this as your secondary device. Get a tablet instead.
I think you make an excellent point. It's a little bit less than the Nexus 7, but a Nexus 7 would be a lot more functional and a better screen too.
And you can carry it around a lot easier
better
than this
battery
guy.
Life.
This
All
is
right.
light, but not as good as the 7.
So pros and cons.
It's light and sturdy. Wakes up really quickly. Like I said, lots and lots of ports. I gotta love
that's impressive. Really.
I love all the ports on this device. The short battery life on the cons, short battery life just really kills this device.
Yeah.
The speaker placement is lousy, and the Chrome OS just misses the mark.
And a do not buy.
Do not buy
for
this
the
device.
Acer Chromebook C7. All right. Hey, thank you, Ayaz Akhtar. Watch him on TNT Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time. 1800 UTC for your daily dose of tech news. And, of course, every Thursday we do Know How. No Thursday, Know How today, this week, because it's 4th of July.
Independence Day.
Next week, you're going to make me do the work. I'm going to do the work. We're going to do Lightroom 5.
I believe we're actually making a book into an e-book.
Oh, well, then never mind. I won't do any more work.
Well, you can do that. We can discuss that later.
I thought I was doing Lightroom 5. Really?
Well, I heard it was not that.
Carson said you're going to do that. But you know what? But he was also, he didn't understand that it was the 4th of July, so maybe he was just confused in
general. We'll work it out.
That's fine. E-book. Great. Love it. Thank you, IS.
You're welcome.
Next, we're going to take a look at this. Where did I put it? It's so small, I think I've lost it. It's a little teeny weeny remote control for gaming. With your iPhone, Radford Castro, our director of engineering, has a look at the Impulse.
Hi, I'm Radford at Twit, and this is the review of the Impulse controller. So the Impulse controller is basically a Bluetooth controller that doubles as a key finder and also controls media for iOS devices as well as a variety of other mobile devices like Windows and Android devices. The way the mode works is you actually tap on the triangle and press one of the face buttons to actually change between different types of modes. When it's held this way, works like a media player. So plus and minus works as adjusting your volume as well as controlling certain parts of the media, like playing and stopping. If you want to play it as a typical game controller, then this is how you do it. You could press a button and then you can actually play it inverted. And on the other side, you'll see there are two other sets of buttons. There's a variety of games that it can play, some of which are listed on the Impulse controller website. Oh, got them. So at least for iOS, these are all the set of games that are playing. It looks like it's a bit over 100 games, maybe 200 games, from the way it looks at the moment. The cool thing is this can be attached to the keychain, and it doubles as a key finder. To use the key finding feature, hit the triangle button when you're not using the device. This will disconnect it from Bluetooth, and you should hear a beep and see some flashing on the buttons. And then when you need to find it, go to your Bluetooth settings, connect to it, and it will beep. There is one thing of note that is kind of important, though. So when you're playing a game, what it does is it actually turns off the keyboard, but if you tap this triangle button, the keyboard comes up. Other than that, it's a pretty nifty controller. The pros are that it's pretty easy to set up. It's responsive, and it doubles as a key finder. It has a nice, clean design. On the con side, the plastic's not exactly of high quality. You don't get a lot of direct support for iOS games, and some of the big games like Mass Effect, Xenonia, and Real Racing are not on the list. Then there's also a learning curve, so there's quite a number of key button presses on this controller that you would need to know what mode to set it on, so that's kind of important. So the final verdict, I give this a try. The reason why I say that is because there's still a lot of games, it looks like, that are going to be going towards Impulse. There's going to be probably more games coming towards Android. This does a lot of the support on Windows because it's using keystrokes as opposed to direct connection with the controller. But it's not so bad. And at $25, it's really hard to beat. I'm Radford at Twit, and this is the review of the Impulse controller.
Radford must have little teeny-weeny hands because it's very small. Feels like you got this in a Cracker Jack box. Anyway, all right, a try. I don't know where you'd try that, though. I mean, do they have that at GameStop or somewhere? Or you'd probably have to buy that online.
Yeah.
Shannon Morris is here. We're going to take a look at the BlackBerry Q10 in just a minute. Long-awaited, the return of a keyboard-based BlackBerry phone. But before we do that, let's talk about Shutterstock.com, our fine sponsor. If you need royalty-free images for your blog, videos for your great YouTube masterpiece, maybe some vector images or illustrations, I got to recommend Shutterstock.com. You don't even have to get a credit card out to try it out. Just make an account. It's free, and you can use their incredible search at Shutterstock.com to find amazing images. 25 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips online right now. 10,000 new images every day. Every time you look, it'll be something great. Cranky Hippo always looks for hippos. I don't know. What, do you have a thing for hippos? Is that it, Cranky? You can actually say, I only want pink hippos, because they've got a spectrum tool. You can pick, it doesn't have to be hippos, obviously. You can pick images based on a lot of different criteria, which is great if you're looking for an illustration for a blog post or just the right image for your PowerPoint presentation. Shutterstock is fabulous. Now, try it free. You don't need a credit card. You can save those images to a Lightbox, create an inspiration box for yourself, share it with others. It's a great way to collaborate. They have a wonderful iPad app that really is all inspiration. Won a Webby Award because it's just so beautiful. And a good news for our international viewers, Shutterstock is an international company with offices all around the world: Germany, China, Italy, Brazil, Belgium, and on and on and on. So and by the way, multilingual customer service reps, full-time customer support throughout the week. I think you're going to like Shutterstock. If you're looking for images, visit Shutterstock.com, create that free account. When you want to buy, they have a variety of package deals. I have the 25-image-a-day subscription. That is an incredible deal, especially if you use our offer code before you buy 7, because you can take 30% off on your new account. That's going to save you a huge amount of money. Before you buy the number 7 for the month of July, 30% off new accounts, but you can also get image bundles. There's a variety of different ways to buy. Shutterstock. What are you – now, those are Androids. I like it. Can you look for happy Androids?
Maybe.
Sad Androids? Pregnant Androids? Well, you get all sorts of choices in there. There probably aren't many pregnant. Yeah, see, those are all happy. Happy Androids. Shutterstock.com. Use the offer code before you buy and the number 7. Time to find out a little bit about the BlackBerry Q10. Shannon Morse is here. Snubs by Twitter handle. Shannon, of course, the host of ThreatWire at youtube.com/techfeed and Hack 5. And she's the producer of this very program.
Yes, and it's so much fun.
Now, I got to ask you, we've got to qualify you for this job.
I did used to have a QWERTY.
You
keyboard.
Used to have a QWERTY.
Yeah, I used to have a Palm.
Palm.
Way
wow.
back in college.
Ever have a BlackBerry of any other
Never
kind?
Never had a BlackBerry.
This is your first BlackBerry.
This is the first time I've actually gotten to play with a BlackBerry, and I had a good time with it.
It reminds me a lot of my last phone before my first iPhone, 2007,
yes.
BlackBerry Curve.
That's what I did.
They got rid of the little marble trackball in there. It's a touch screen now, but otherwise it's very similar in shape and form.
Yeah, it's still very similar. You can tell with the design of this thing.
It's
still
BlackBerry.
Beautifully curved. It still has the same curvature feature to it. It's still pretty skinny, and it feels really nice in your hand. It's lightweight, so you're not going to feel like you're, you know, weighted down by a brick in your hand or anything like that. And I'll get to the keyboard and the screen at the end, but first I wanted to discuss the operating system a little bit. Since this was my first time messing around with it, I had a few likes, but mostly a lot of dislikes.
This is BlackBerry's new BlackBerry 10 touchscreen operating system.
Yes, it is. So as you can see, the screen is pretty small. It's only about 3 inches wide, and it's only 720 by 720.
Yeah.
So you lose quite a bit of resolution when you go with this small screen with the keyboard underneath it.
You're not going to be watching Desperate Housewives.
No, you're not. And my biggest problem with this, not only the screen size, but there's not a lot of apps available on here right now. It's really, really limited as far as what you can get for free, as well as, you know, what game or what apps they have to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of weird when I went into the BlackBerry world. They even had a whole bunch of video and music available, and you could watch trailers on those and whatnot. And it was very easy to get to those, which was nice, so I could test out the features of the video and the speaker quality. But I was like, I don't think I'm really going to use that often. All I'm really interested in is the apps. It's also a pain in the butt to get back to the home screen. You have to go up, and then you have to go over and then get back to all your different apps. I really wish they had included like a little home key or something like that.
Yeah, when I tried the Z10, I had the same problem. It's I guess it's what you're used to, but it's very gesture-based user interface, which is funny on a keyboard-based phone.
It's very weird for me. So they do have quite a few different things built in, but it doesn't feel like bloatware. They kept it pretty clean.
This is the AT&T version.
Yes, this is the AT&T version, and I should mention it's $199 on contract, so $200 with a 2-year contract. It's a little bit more pricey than the Verizon version of this one, but it did just release, so now AT&T users, you have this option.
And it's LTE, I'm sure.
It is LTE. Yeah. Yes, it is. So they didn't have a lot of bloatware installed in it. They don't have that many applications available for it. The camera on this guy, though, I was messing around with that a lot. I noticed the picture quality, it's 8 megapixels, so it's not super high res, but it's pretty decent for a camera. However, in low light, it doesn't take very good pictures. They're kind of grainy. They don't look that
good. Is that Twilight?
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
I might have that poster in my office. Don't make fun of me. I do an audio podcast about vampires. I have to have it.
That's right.
So I didn't really like the camera that much. I was able to take some video on it as well. The video looks pretty smooth. It's not too shaky or ugly. But the same problem with that. It's only 8 megapixels, so it's not super great.
And you ain't posting it to Instagram because there ain't no Instagram for
BlackBerry. Exactly. Yeah. I still have that problem with the applications. It's such a pain in the butt. Yeah. Sound quality on this, though, was excellent as far as making calls on it. Yeah. Making calls was great.
So it's a good
phone.
It's
very clear. Yeah. Very good as a phone and very good as a messenger. I was able to do tons of calls with it, no problem. Even the battery life lasted all day. I mean, like 14 hours easily.
Yeah.
So it was
pretty
darn good. So I was really happy about that. And it didn't take a lot of charge. You know, just plug it in at night, go to sleep, and you're good to go in the morning. I really like that about that, about this as well. And I also wanted to mention the battery life is 21 mega amps per hour, which is pretty similar to...
Milliamp hours. It's the same as
milliamp
that...
Milliamp hours.
2100.
And
I'm carrying this bulk.
And I get this for 14 hours.
Well, I got more apps.
Well,
She's got a smaller screen.
Better battery life. More hours.
So what'd you think of the keyboard?
So the keyboard, yeah, this was my favorite part. I haven't played with a keyboard since college, so it's been like, you know... Well, I'm not going to say how long it's been. But I really like the feature that they raised... some sides of it. I don't know if you can see this.
I felt
well
like it's funny. I got an instant BlackBerry flashback to 2007.
Yeah,
and I think they've done a nice job doming the keys.
It actually feels
pretty easy to type.
They're not flat, so you don't have a problem whenever you're texting people. It's really easy to find the key that you want to hit. They have a little raised knob on the D, so you can find your home keys very easily. And they also have all the extra features. You know, all your extra. There's number keys and exclamation marks and what have you. So everything's available, and when you press down on them, it's nice and sturdy. So, and there's a little bit of a click. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
there's a little
bit
of a click. So if you're in a classroom setting, you definitely can't text without your teacher knowing.
You can't turn that off.
You can't turn that off. No, that's like
a physical click.
That's a physical click.
Wow.
Yeah. But I've gotten so used to having a on-screen keyboard that this was really weird for me coming back to this. It was nice whenever I just wanted to text real quick and like put it down here while I'm you know, paying attention to my fiance during
under the table. Very good
under the table.
Yes, dear. Whatever you say, dear.
Checking Twitter. Oh yeah, sure. Sure, babe, whatever you say. But otherwise I didn't really like the click, and it just felt so weird going back to this. It felt like I was going back to the early 2000s.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Memories.
One thing that's nice about this too is you do
have access to
your battery, your SIM card, and there's a micro SD card.
Wow. The BlackBerry battery even looks the same as my Curve.
Oh, and you know what's weird? What? There's a micro HDMI place on the side of it.
Play movies off your BlackBerry.
Yeah, so strange.
Something the world's demanding.
What in the world? So that was kind of cool.
I think BlackBerry fans are going to feel like, hey, thank goodness, because this is very much a BlackBerry phone.
So for me, yeah, I didn't really like it that much because I've gotten so used to the Android atmosphere and iOS environment that going to a BlackBerry, I feel like I'm so limited when I could have so much more with those other operating systems.
I had the same reaction to the Z10. It's like, well, it's not that it's bad. It's just that this is 2013.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll give you my pros and cons.
Okay.
Of course, the pro, well-designed keyboard, solid weight and feel. Really, really like the feel of this and the fact that it's relatively weightless. The cons on it, though, are the camera quality just stinks. I really don't like the camera. Really tiny screen. I can't get over that. And limited apps. There's not a lot of apps available with the BlackBerry. So overall, honestly, I gave it a don't buy just because this definitely doesn't go for everybody. It's not something that I would choose and that I would pay for with my money. I would definitely choose something in the Android or iOS environments. But if you really need a texting one, and you aren't too worried about all the applications that you can get, you could probably buy this.
Steve Gibson's a big BlackBerry fan, and he went out and bought that right away, and he sent it back. And the reason is, yeah, because it doesn't have that trackball. It doesn't have a good pointing method. He says BlackBerry 10 is fine, but the touchscreen doesn't work in this kind of keyboardish environment. And he was unhappy. Now, he's a BlackBerry fanatic. So even BlackBerry fans might be a little bit disappointed by the Q10.
See, that's good to hear, because I was kind of like, should I give this a try? Just because I know a lot of BlackBerry fans will want to try this.
They want this phone. I wanted it. I was excited, but I don't think
nobody,
I think you're right.
It doesn't really hit everybody's target market.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. I don't buy, unfortunately, for the BlackBerry. Q10, not much of a surprise, really.
Yeah.
Now, I owe you a review of the Sonos
I beat you to
Play
it.
Bar. So this is Sonos. You know that I'm a big Sonos fan. We saw Sarah Lane do her review of her Sonos system in her apartment. Sonos has just come out with a sound bar. This is for your TV set. And I have one, and I was going to review it, but Chad beat me to the punch. So let's see what Chad Johnson thinks of the Sonos Play Bar.
Hello, my name is Chad. I'm with Twit and Before You Buy, and today I am reviewing the Play Bar by Sonos. This is a normal Sonos device that has a twist. It can be hooked up to your television, and you can use the optical in on this device to play what is coming out of your TV. The speaker system can be used also in two different ways. In this standing mode, which you could also set onto a wall, or you can flip it around and set it down, and it goes into a low profile mode where if you have a TV, hopefully your remote can reach over the top of this low profile mode and get to the television, to the IR receiver. The soundbar also has two IR receivers to accommodate for this. So you have one on the front here, and then you have a second one at the top. Kind of a nice design. The bar itself is created really nicely. The construction on this is great. It feels very solid. There's 9 speakers in here, and all around, I feel like this is not a cheap sound bar. On the back of the sound bar, there are a few connectors, one for power, one for optical audio in, and 2 Ethernet ports. This sound bar can be used in 2 ways, either in a wireless mode with a $50 bridge, or if you have an internal network in your home, you can plug it in via Ethernet and it will sync up to a computer and you don't have to use the wireless bridge. It is a $700 soundbar and there is no subwoofer included, which is kind of a bummer because other soundbars in this price range do come with a subwoofer. You could buy Sonos's subwoofer, and that would cost an additional $700. So if you want to get the whole system, that'd be $1,400. Let's get into the pros and cons of this device. For the pros, sending music wirelessly to my speaker system was absolutely awesome. That is what Sonos delivers. Also, seamless integration across the board, either via my television, being able to pull audio out of my television into the speaker, or switching inputs so that I switch from, say, Spotify to the TV speaker system. Also, even small things like using the volume control that's already on the remote that you're using currently, it will detect that remote and you can use that up and down volume control. Also, this integrates really well if you are a Sonos family. If you have other Sonos devices in the house, you could even turn your other Play 3 speakers into back, left, and right speakers, which is pretty cool if you've already invested into the Sonos system. Now, for the cons, there's only one optical input, and it is optical. My television actually didn't have one. I had to plug my PS3 directly into the optical input, so I got sound that way. Also, televisions tend to not be upgraded on their optical output, and sometimes they will only output stereo. And when you have the option to do something like 5.1 with a complete speaker system, your television may not support it. Also, the app felt a little bit dated to me, and there were a few roadblocks, even though overall I would consider the app good. There's definitely some stuff that needs to be ironed out. And finally, it is expensive. Coming in at $700 without a subwoofer is quite a lot of money to drop on a Sonos soundbar. on the play bar to be specific. So, buy, try, don't buy for the Sonos play bar. I'm going to give this a buy. I really enjoyed it, and really no one else is doing it quite so elegantly, sending music to a device like Sonos is doing. Thank you so much for watching this review of the Sonos play bar. I will see you next time.
I think this is beautiful. Listen, as we go back...
It gets loud!
So I'm not a huge fan of soundbars, but there are a lot of reasons you might want to use a soundbar. You don't want to have surround sound wiring and all of that. And I have played with a lot of soundbars. I agree with Chad. This is as good as soundbars get. And because it's a Sonos, it's just all the extra functionality you get. I'm pretty happy with it. But as you know, I'm a Sonos fan. So Chad is smart. He says, buy this. It sounds expensive, and I guess it is, although, you know, I also bought a Bose soundbar for $2,500 that wasn't as good as this. It did come with a subwoofer, but it wasn't as good as this. If you add the Sonos subwoofer, you're still well under that, you know. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. Chad Johnson produces all the big shows on Twit. Twit, those are my shows. Twit, Matt Freak Weekly, that's why I did the big shows. Twig, and he also, of course, hosts the other big shows, OMG Craft, our Minecraft programs on the Twit Network. Is it my turn now? Should I talk?
It's your turn.
All right, because I got a great remote control. I'm a fan of the Logitech Harmonies, the all-in-one remote controls. You are too, right?
Yeah,
as you use the Harmonies. And I thought, I was very interested when Logitech came out with this. They call this their Logitech Harmony Smart Control. And the idea is, essentially, that you're supposed to use it with your smartphone, your Android or your iPhone. This is very clever, this idea here. This plugs into the wall and then pairs over Bluetooth or Wi-Fi with your phone, and then sends infrared commands to your home theater system. So that means this has to be in line of sight, but you don't. You can even put this in the cupboard. So if you have a cabinet with a lot of equipment in it, you could put the base unit in the cabinet. It also comes with an additional infrared little blaster there. And that, by the way, it comes with one, but you can add as many as two infrared blasters to this. So you can control a cable box and some other box as well. Maybe your stereo AV receiver with it. And then it does have a regular remote control. Not as fancy, no screen as the Harmony One or the Ultimate. But much of the same functionality. One of the big selling points of Harmony is myharmony.com. You go to a website, it knows about all kinds of stuff. You don't have to pre-program or reprogram for almost any device. You just say, I got one of these, got one of these, got one of these. It says, okay, we're ready. And then it's activity focused. And those activities apply here as well. You see, they've got some special buttons. There's a movie button, a TV show button, a music button. You can assign any kinds of activities to these. But really, this sings most when you're using it with your smartphone app, iPhone or Android phone, because it's a lot easier, frankly, to work with. You don't have to use myharmony.com. You can use your iPhone to set up many of these activities. I had a few problems, and I've talked to other Harmony remote people with varying results. With the Apple TV and the Roku, it sees the Roku as a Blu-ray player for reasons I don't fully understand, and I wasn't able to control it quite as well. I kept wanting to reach for the Roku remote. Same thing with the Apple TV. I like the elegance of the Apple TV remote. This is more like if Microsoft designed an Apple TV remote. You know what I'm saying? It's got a lot of extra buttons and doohickeys and doodads. Nevertheless, the fact that you have your smartphone with you all the time, it replaces that stack of remote controls you have on your sofa arm, and it does a pretty credible job. Activity-based means that even, you know, passes what we call the babysitter test. Somebody who's not familiar with your home theater system can come in and say, oh, yeah, you press that button, and I'll be able to watch TV. Press that button, I'll be able to watch a DVD. It's nice to have those pre-programmed activities. Logitech is the best at this. And normally, Logitech remotes are quite expensive. This one is fairly affordable. It works without any additional dongles on your Blu-ray PlayStation 3. I love the fact that it isn't just line of sight, that you can walk around and use Wi-Fi or Bluetooth to control the IR blaster. And it's only $129.99, which I think for the functionality of this, this is kind of, these are as functional, I think, as the higher end Harmony remotes. Pretty impressive. So a definite buy for the Logitech Harmony smart control. Pros, it works wirelessly. It works in closed cabinets. It's very easy to configure either with the web or the smartphone app, maybe even a little easier with a smartphone app. And it turns something you've already got, your smartphone, into a remote control. Again, the cons, a little troublesome with the Roku and the Apple TV. I kept wanting to reach for the simple, cleaner, better working remote control. I kept having to unpair and unregister my Apple TV remote. And occasionally inelegant UI on the phone. You will have to, unfortunately, do a little additional programming on My Harmony for some of the more advanced features. If you're an advanced remote control user, it's MyHarmony.com for that. But a definite buy, considering it's only $130 for the
My Harmony. I have to like keep pointing at the screen. Hopefully, it'll get all the components.
I figured out a good spot. I put it on a cabinet in the back of the room where it had good line of sight, and you never have to worry again. You can go to the bathroom and change the channel.
That's worth the upgrade. Right
That's
there.
Right there.
They're like, okay, right there. That's the spot.
I'm up in the kitchen there. And I'm changing the channel. It's great. No, I have to say, for the price, I think this is a very functional remote control. Well, that wraps it up for a great Before You Buy. We saw a lot of interesting products. I want to thank our reviewers, Ayaz Akhtar, Shannon Morse, Chad Johnson, Radford Castro, and me. Now, remember, we do all of our reviews, and many of them are longer than what you see on the full show on YouTube, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. So if you want to see more detail on any of these products, that's the place to go, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. You can email Shannon with suggestions for products you'd like to see reviewed, byb@twit.tv. Tune in live for the show. We do it every Tuesday afternoon right about 4 p.m. 4:30, 4 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. It'd be about 2300 UTC if you want to watch live. But after the fact, on-demand audio and video always available at twit.tv/BYB. Thanks for joining us. And remember, you got to watch before you buy. See you later.